Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Hi, this is Jane. I see Bianchi on the air. That's great. Don wrote me earlier in the day, and now he's a little AWOL, so I'm going to have to find out what's happening. But I am going to play a quick song. The song's only a minute, so bear with me. We have Don and Bianchi on the air, so I'm going to start. I watched half the presidential debate and also heard some coverage on the radio about the analysis. There's a lot going on in America right now, but I'm going to read my intro and then comment. America wants to get out of the circus. 75% do not want Trump to run again. 54% within his party are sort of okay with it, but 25% are not. Ron DeSantis already lost his momentum, and mainstream news does not focus on Larry Elder. Desirable candidates are Chris Christie and Nikki Haley, and a few more like the North Dakota governor. On the Democrat side, we don't want an octogenarian in the White House again. We need fresh blood. We need someone middle of the road and pragmatic, not people from the fringe. I will discuss setbacks government administration have encountered this year and the mainstream perspective of government that people would like to change in 2024. Here's some of the highlights from the 2024 presidential debate in Milwaukee last week. DeSantis is strong and assertive to the point that he interrupted people three or four times. He's anti-Fauci as far as health concerns. He doesn't want incremental change. He wants a revolution. He was rather insulting towards a couple candidates, especially Mike Pence. Vivek Ramaswamy, which is three times more difficult to pronounce than Obama, is running also as an Indian. Quit laughing. He's running as an Indian whose parents came here with no money, and now he's a successful businessman. He said, if I ever go to war, it's only going to the war against the federal government. He thinks climate change is a hoax, and he wants to downsize government, and Chris Christie told him straight out on the stage he's clueless with a bad last name and similar to Obama's bullshit. Nikki Haley was on point. She attacked the national debt, but she blamed both Republicans and Democrats. She said under Trump, the pork belly projects that included excessive spending was 7 million or billion by the Republicans and only 2.8 for the Dems, but they also suffered under COVID with the three enhancement packages Congress passed during COVID. The North Dakota governor, as you would expect, thinks that Biden's double spending on a green economy and making the whole economy green is too fast forward and not realistic. And he said that because we refused to buy oil from the Russians, they cut the price in half, and now the Chinese bought most of it. The redneck from Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, said some good things. I just don't think he's going to have national appeal. He said that he said something similar to Ramaswamy, that the to constrain the federal government, we have to reduce spending and cut out all the excess. Tim Scott, the senator from, I believe, Georgia, is African-American. He's conservative in all his policy statements, and he criticized the Trump administration and described how the American people will restore faith with him. Overall, a lot of them said the same things. A lot of them did some insider petty fighting, but most of them had the government policies that are familiar to Republicans. I will bring in my host. Hi, Pianke. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Yeah, there was like a, I would believe, a 12 to 14 day spread from our last show because, first of all, I went back to the nursing home job. I had to work 5 to 7 days straight. On the days I weren't there, I was at the other 4 to midnight job. So unless you guys want to do a show at 8 in the morning or at 2 in the morning, I couldn't swing it. So I'm going to pull in Don now, and then we can start commenting. Hi, Don. Thanks for being prompt.
Hello there, Jane. Hey, Pianke. Hey, everybody.
Hello, Don.
Welcome. Hi. I've been prompt today twice, which is extremely rare. But
you've been what?
Prompt twice. I'm always
prompt
by the cops.
Huh? I'm always late.
DWB driving while black.
That happens. That's part of the American fabric. But
so
no.
How did you rectify the situation?
No, I've been prompted twice today. So that's almost historic.
Nice choice of words.
Oh, yeah. I'm a wordsmith.
Is DWB fun? I never experienced that. Sounds like it's a fun game.
Okay, well, you have to be black to experience it. So,
maybe you look
okay.
Like Meghan Markle then. You're too late.
No. But I do come from a cop family, so my mom was...
No, I'm not talking about you, Don. I'm talking about Pianke.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, Jane, here's the thing. You made a comment that 75% of people don't want Trump to run for president or something. I think that was baffled. I'm reading here on July the 31st, they say why Trump polls lead went up after criminal indictments. Then you got another one here.
National public. I didn't mean for party specific.
That's not national. That is national. Then you got here August the 27th, which was just the other day. That's the wrong one. No, this one here, August the 20th, CBS News poll finds Trump big lead grows as GOP voters dismiss basically all the rhetoric. Now, I tell you that Ramaswamy, I know I'm pronouncing
it's
his name wrong.
Ramaswamy.
He has some good points. But, you know, he's successful in business, so was Trump. But the crippling factor is the politics. The politics is treacherous. And who you go to appoint to your cabinet position, and then the main thing is that you got a lot of people that civil servants that you can't get rid of them, like Susan Rice was still in her position during Trump's administration. You could see how she probably came out and harmed him with eavesdropping on his telephone calls. And
well, Ramaswamy did come off good, but Chris Christie interrupted him and basically called him a kind of like a sassy fraud, you know, like just a instigator type, like a entertainment-based candidate.
Well, I wouldn't mind trying using him for a vice president. I think
well,
the
other thing is
in Florida.
It is kind of hard running for office when you have no background, but Trump pulled it off. Like, Trump never held public office. But he did own, you know, he owned pivotal corporate businesses, and he also had name recognition.
Yeah, he had name recognition, and the message that he sent was what Americans want to hear. And believe it or not, many of the things that he said he was going to do, he done it or either tried to do it. But one of his big problems was the people that he had appointed to positions. You know, one comes to mind is Barr. Barr was just terrible. He was terrible. As a DOJ.
Well, the other thing is, Pianki, is with all these eight candidates on stage and no major standout, it was pretty hard for them to differentiate themselves as to who could say anything more sophisticated that would make them stand out from the other person.
Well, I'm glad that Trump was not there. He needed not to be there. He's got a lead that can only come down and help those who's trying to get off the ground. Now, that would make a good rap song now, wouldn't it?
I also think because that whole mugshot was traveling in cyberspace that it was just not a good week for him.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, even whether it's his worst critics or even just mainstream people, a lot of people punch fun at it.
Well, all this stuff is susceptible and strange when you know what you're looking at. Mike Pence had dual electors, and he should have sent them back to the states. But then again, you had three crowds. You had the crowd that was climbing the walls. You had another crowd, I think that Alex, I can't think of his last name. He had another crowd on the other side.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Yeah, Alex Jones. And then you had the other crowd, which had to march, had to walk about 45 minutes from where Trump had his rally, and his rally was going on while the people was protesting and trying to get into the Capitol. And by the way, you've seen videos of Capitol guards taking the barricades down and beckoning the people, come on in.
One thing I wanted to point out to you guys is that whether people love Trump or not, let's just throw a ballpark figure out, including the Democrats. Let's say 40% of the country loves him. I do think people are tired of drama and excessive loyalty. It would be nice, after watching the Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard trial and seeing 75% of the people siding with him, even though he was a terrible husband, a drug user, and a relapsed addict, I don't trust any American voters. Because the only thing that rises to the surface on the internet are the, kind of like the emptiest truck makes the loudest noise. And half the people rooting in difficult situations for people are extremists. So you never really get the middle of the road people talking. But one big topic during the debate was inflation. And I guess Americans are paying so much for gas and groceries that it's really stabbing into their budget, not to mention raised rents around the country.
Well, when Trump was in president, I paid $1.65 a gallon, $1.68 a gallon for gasoline. I got pictures of the pump price.
During COVID in Beverly Hills, a picture. Like around 2020, I was out there in 2020. I was out there in 2021. It was between $5 and $6 in Beverly Hills.
Well,
at the end of COVID.
I'm sorry.
At the beginning of COVID, I guess it was.
Yeah. Well, we was paying $1.65 up until September of 2019.
2019.
Wait,
September.
He didn't
take office till
2017. When did Biden take office?
Biden took office
in
January 2021.
Oh, 2021. Okay, well, up until September 2020, we was paying $1.60-some-odd a gallon. Now maybe,
well, I do think that all the tax hikes in gas, like, I do think we should, I think up here it's $3.74. I don't think we should be paying more than $3.20 per gallon.
Well, people are making money at $1.65 a gallon, so what's going on at $3 a gallon? Sound like that's a windfall.
Well, the thing is in Minnesota you can get a job, but most people have to make at least $15 to $20 an hour to make it. Like, my city raised property taxes 50%, so all the landlords were forced to charge the renters more money.
Well, they got to get the right job. We got engineers here in this area on a project that's making about $4,000 a week, $4,000 to $6,000 a week.
That's crazy. I do have a job offer on the table for $20 an hour, but I haven't started it yet. Because Minnesota takes 3 months to process a background check. And they've taken 3 months to process mine. So, Don, what's going on with you this week? Don, what have you been doing since you got back from Boston? Hello? Are you eating your ice cream?
No, eating dinner and basically chilling after work. This is my Friday, so I get a chance to kind
okay,
of,
you can come back on the air in 4 minutes.
All
why
right.
are you eating the air at 8:30 at night?
Because I just came in from work about an hour and a half ago. I've got a house full of kids and everything. So we're, you know, just living the life. I'll see you in 4 minutes.
Okay. Joan, you have a tag under your... So, Pianke, what else has struck you in the national media this week?
Well, these indictments is nothing more than an attempt to prevent the man from getting out being on the ballot.
My twin sister's here from California.
That's good.
And she can't seem to. She's bugging me. Okay, go ahead, Pianke, restate that. Pianke.
Those that's trying to say that they want to use the 14th Amendment to prevent him from being elected is using the 14th Amendment out of context. 14th Amendment is one major thing. It didn't have enough votes to ratify. According to the Federal Registry, when you count the I's and the nays. And secondly, it's taken out of context because it was specifically meant to be for those that participated in the Civil War. And they want to call that an insurrection.
Wasn't
it wasn't an insurrection.
Article 1, the 14th, something, a big contention under the Gore v. Bush election? Equal clause, equal that each person has to be, each election procedure has to be the same? Or am I thinking about something else?
I don't know what you're thinking about. Did you see the monologue of, you see the monologue that's being played of all the Democrats that said that the 2020 election was fraud, saying that there was all sorts of faults that went on, that the election was stolen, everything.
To tell you the truth, I wish Donald Trump would just evaporate and go away. I don't care about any of those arrests. I think he's rich enough to overcome it. The 14th Amendment says, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges and immunities of citizens of the U.S., nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction. That's what I was talking about in the Gore v. Bush election. They used this amendment regarding the equal protection of the laws, because Gore only wanted four counties in Florida recounted instead of all of them. So they considered that an uneven claim.
Well, that was up to the state of Florida to do that if they wanted to. It's not the federal governor's responsibility.
Well, but remember, right, the Supreme Court hijacked the Florida Supreme Court in Gore v. Bush. They just took it straight out of the Florida Supreme Court hands, basically because of those four, because of the four counties he wanted recounted versus the whole state.
Well, they still didn't have to listen to the Supreme Court. They went to the Supreme Court because they had an argument between one or more parties. Supreme Court don't have no make you do what we want you to do powers, enforcement powers.
I'd have to go back and research it. I did do a paper on it, though, and I remember the Supreme Court decided on its own to take the case, and I remember they took all the ballots stacked in boxes from Florida to D.C.
Well,
I don't remember the whole story, but I do remember that, in my opinion, I felt like the Supreme Court, they hijacked the Florida Supreme Court without their permission. But either way, we're talking about the equal protection of the law. Now, it appears to me, as we've discussed on previous shows, that the Democratic Party is trying to nail Trump with numerous legal violations. And many Americans consider him a felon. I've listened to some recent radio shows on polling, and some Americans won't even consider Trump because he's been impeached and is a felon. Now, depending on how much information they know and what is accurate, it doesn't seem to matter. That's the opinion they've already
Yeah, some people I think shouldn't even be allowed to vote because they're ignorant.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying regarding Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and like people who were against Amber Heard were like bullying and harassing her and calling her the worst names and saying they wanted to kill her child. Like, I know that there's been some laws recently in some states that have exempted felons and now they can vote again, whereas in the past they couldn't.
That's up to the state.
Right. And in Minnesota,
you talk about,
go ahead.
You talk about candidates, Jane. People should vote for candidates based on their policy, not what they say in the locker room, not what the, is a good look for how they wear their hair or how they tweet. It should be on their policies, their policies. The reason why come so many people like Trump, because he was putting America first, which he's supposed to do.
I agree with that statement, but I think Americans are biased, and they do look like they do look at the hair and the body image and all that other stuff.
Well,
and how many
voters?
Like Nikki Haley, she's held some federal positions while in office with Trump, and she's also been a senator, and people look at their backgrounds as well.
Well, you need to look at what they have achieved that they said they was going to do, and also what is it that is on your agenda. That's the reason for choosing a candidate. Will they carry your agenda forward? Not theirs. But it can be theirs when they network with others. But commonplace and more important than anything, it's your agenda, you the constituent.
Well, some people can see the forest between the trees, but other people can't. They can define what policies coincide with their belief system. But the thing with Trump is he was rather too forward on Twitter, and he gave off a bad vibe towards the other candidates, and it was a turnoff for some people.
Well, what did Ramaswamy say about Chris?
Well, I only watched half the debate, but I listened to a full analysis. Ramaswamy said that he did make one good statement, though, before the argument with Christie. He said, when you take a car to the shop and they don't fix it right, then you take the keys back and, you know, you go somewhere else and get it completely fixed. And he said, this country needs to hand the car keys over to the next generation to fix all the problems that the previous generation caused. So,
well,
probably,
then the next generation should identify those problems. What are the problems they're talking about? What do they want to fix?
That was one of the things that was wrong that he said. You can't fully hand the keys over to a 14-year-old. He's, as the Pianchi said, he's, you know, kind of a businessman. And so he has the issues where he's not going to side with anyone. He's a Trumpian. So the Trump, he's taking everything from the Trump playbook.
Do you see how many checkpoints they have on this side?
You know, yeah.
John, can you go into a private room?
Yeah, that's Ted. Okay.
So, Don, out of all those candidates, who do you think stood out?
That's the stupidest thing in the world. You're not supposed to have any debates that are a year and a half. A year and 3 months before the election. That's the most ridiculous campaign ploy ever. And so if you want to really make a clown show of yourself, you're going to have, 10 candidates up there, 11 candidates up there, not talking about anything of substance, only, you know, where they think they're going to be placed in the order of, you know, the primaries, which is, you know, the caucus. Don't even know if it's a primary or caucus.
Don, you have to blame that on the news host. They were the one that was leading the questions, right?
Well, I mean, I'm saying the damn thing shouldn't have been on there in the first place. You don't.
I think the reason they did it so early,
debate,
so people would stop. Don, they did it early because they want people to start thinking about the election and take the focus off Biden.
Yeah, but the Republicans are destroying their strategy, or making their strategy harder, whatever you want to call it. They're having they're going to fish out all of these bad candidates, and then we're going to have nothing left but Trump when the election come around. Now, there are pundits to say that Trump is, the Democrats want Trump to run because he can be beat. But in general, the Republican Party is going to look like a clown show after the 17th debate.
But James said that black voters are starting to move over toward Trump.
That's fine.
Is that true, James?
That's fine.
I'm not moving towards Trump. I know which candidates are not winnable. Mike Pence cannot win. I doubt Ramaswamy can win, or Nikki Haley is smart, but she can't win. But she'd be good as a second ticket person. I like the North Dakota governor, and I'm friends with Larry Elder, so I'd vote for him if he made it that far.
If you were Republican,
I like Chris Christie in the past, but I didn't like how he slammed Obama. Because that's a cheap shot from a long time ago.
He doesn't care what you think.
How who blasted Obama? Trump?
Chris Christie.
Chris Christie said you have a funny last name and you're standing in the middle. He said, I remember a candidate who stood in the middle of the stage with a bad last name and pretty much faking it as a candidate, and then he said Obama's name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's wrong with that?
There's a lot of people liked Obama and still do.
What do they like him for?
Well, the ACA is his benchmark legislation, and that has helped everybody.
One reason they liked him is he was a good speaker. Another reason is
he
was as handsome as Clark Kent.
Looks, even if he used sign language, it's the policies. And the things now where they got a dead chef that was probably banging Michelle, why come that's not being investigated? The mother of that chef says she wants some answers. A black woman. So where's the press conferences? Where is the activist calling for
justice or
no peace?
You're right, too. You know, there's some very, very sinister, mysterious deaths in all the spheres of the higher-ups. And so there are some questions about the chef that I even have. But all in all, Obama, he got the ACA passed, the Dreamers Act passed. But one of the main things is he calmed the American
down. You got Obamacare pass you mentioned, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Obamacare.
That was
Obamacare was based on a bad judgment ruling by Roberts in the Supreme Court. The question at hand was, could it be come under the Commerce Clause? And that's another thing. That Commerce Clause has got to be dealt with. He said no, but it could be a tax. He wasn't supposed to say it could be a tax. He was supposed to rule on the question at hand, and that was the Commerce Clause.
I don't know the particulars of how.
I wanted a healthcare system like Canada, a single-payer system. What resulted was complicated federal government management of Obamacare.
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution says that the federal government is supposed to be indulging in health care nor education.
It was a clause, the government's not supposed to be involved with a commercial product of buying and selling. It's somewhere in the Constitution. I'm condensing it. So for some people, it was a violation of the Constitution.
Well, the Constitution don't tell you what you can't do. It tells you what you can do. And there's nothing in there that says that the federal government should be either involved in insurance or in education and some other things, too. It doesn't say. Like, it's not supposed to own land.
You guys talk a few minutes. I'll find the clause I'm referring to. Okay?
It shouldn't own land.
1 second.
Other than magazine, forts, and ports, P-O-R-T-S. It may be one or two things more. Unless the states explicitly lease it to them, they should do that. That's
John, can you talk a minute while I look up the clause?
Why don't you play some music?
Okay, 1 second. I'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
I found it. The Commerce Clause refers to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which gives Congress the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations among states and with the Indian tribes. But it did say somewhere in that clause that the government does not have the right to, at one point in the early 1900s, it says it didn't have the right to regulate interstate clauses, and the government could not control business that way. But it also said something to the effect that the government cannot force people to buy and sell things. That they cannot force, like, remember when Obamacare went through, you got punished if you didn't sign up? People got punished if they didn't at least sign up for Obamacare, or at least state that they were going to buy it or not going to buy it.
The Commerce Clause was intended to concern transactions that cross state lines. That's it. General welfare is intended for states in terms of military, not individual welfare. That's what it was all intended for. To
right.
punish people, penalize them because they did not want to buy into some insurance program was totally wrong.
Well, I'm not prepared tonight to discuss this in depth. Some people think the government is able to regulate so it can protect consumers, but in reality it hurts the consumers more than it helps, because regulation is a form of protectionism and varies the benefit regulated industries at the expense of consumers. So, but I know that there was some direct correlation to Obamacare, even going back to Hillary Clinton's health care, where it had a conflict of interest within the Constitution. But in the 1900s, when some of the businesses were just getting off the ground, I know like some of the big shots like J.P. Morgan and the Game Changers fought government intervention.
Well, just to say that ACA, I don't really like calling that Obamacare, but I worked to try to get it passed only because I knew that it's for preventative medicine, and because we own a dance fitness and nutrition business, we promote health. So, you know, we were looking for the benefits of being proactive in one's health and nutritional endeavors. So that's something that we believed in and from the start, and that's why we supported it. It wasn't the financial burden where you were going to be it was going to raise, and in the text, it was going to raise your taxes and things like that. So, and their benefit payments were going to be a little higher. But in general, those were things that I factored in as positive. So that, you know, anybody looking at value and finance is not the only one.
Well, it did cause people's health insurance to go completely to the roof. You know, as we said before, the federal government had no business being involved in insurance. The federal government has no business enacting laws setting a minimum wage or a maximum wage. That's not granted to them in the Constitution.
And that's why I say they're different value systems, because in my opinion, but, you know, I am looking at it from a privileged point of view. From my opinion, the benefits of having those safety net and putting into people's mind that they need to stay healthy outweighed the financial burdens that a lot of people did, in fact, just because they said it from the start. that was going to be burdensome in their insurance payment. So, you know,
well,
those
you know,
things
people,
you have to take them. But I think
people got a right if they want to. If people got a right to smoke cigarettes, chew tobacco, and drink whiskey if they want to.
And they can. That's what Obamacare was about, with that those people who maintained an unhealthy lifestyle weren't going to get a whole lot of help near the end of life. There was
Obamacare allowed the IRS to penalize you.
Correct.
If you didn't have insurance. If you didn't have
Correct.
It this year, too, your penalty go up. Then it go up. So that's hurting people. If people don't want to have insurance, they don't need no insurance.
Well, one of the, yeah, I mean, that's how it was.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's how it was. I mean, car insurance, I think it was about, should have been the same thing. But
now, car
health
insurance is a different thing. Car insurance is a different thing because you need to be able to show financial responsibility in case you damage somebody else's property in order to utilize the roads.
And that's
but
exactly what health insurance. That's exactly what health insurance and Obamacare are. I'm sorry, the Affordable Care Act is about. Is when you're unhealthy, do you understand the financial ramifications of that on all of the taxpayers? Because the biggest burden is about recidivist patients, those people who go in every week or every 2 weeks. That's a burden on our medical system. We're all paying it, and because we're paying it, it was costing us as much as Obamacare, as ACA. So, you know, that was one of the criteria for them crafting it like they did.
People say that poor did not have, couldn't reach, but that's not true. They had comprehensive health clinics that allowed patients to come in on a sliding scale, sometimes even receive free services.
Right.
So to say that people didn't have the ability to seek out medical attention, they did. That was proven false in many cities like St. Louis during COVID. Heck, there was like 35 different comprehensive health centers in the city of St. Louis and the immediate St. Louis County. So it was wrong. That's why come they done it. And another thing, if people wanted it, why come they didn't stick to paying it? No. When opportunity came for them to get out of it, they got out of it. Therefore, if you don't have insurance, the IRS cannot penalize you.
Right. And that's what they ultimately amended it to.
Yeah.
I found the quote on the constitutionality of Obamacare. One of the biggest tests of the scope of federal power was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010. A health care reform bill, also known as Obamacare, it contained a mandate that required Americans who did not have health insurance to purchase private plans if they were not covered under a government program. The federal government had never before compelled citizens to buy any product or service. The Supreme Court reviewed the constitutionality of the ACA. The court ruled that the Commerce Clause allowed Congress to regulate interstate commerce but not force citizens to participate in commerce by purchasing a product they did not want. However, the court also ruled that the insurance mandate was essentially a form of tax that Congress did have the power to pass. So in other words, they were taxing people who didn't qualify for low-income Obamacare.
Well, the insurance mandate was not a form of tax. On what product?
I guess it was a broad-based tax that forced people to donate their money to the feds to equalize the idea of everyone having health care.
You only pay a tax when you go buy, when you willingly go pay for something, then there's a tax applied. if it's an automobile, if it's a gallon of milk. But if you don't want something, how are you going to tax somebody for something that they don't want, never received because they didn't want it?
Also, some people didn't want their primary doctors to be altered.
Well, I'm not saying that people didn't have a right to seek it if they wanted to. I'm saying that if people didn't want to be involved in it, then they should not be taxing them, penalizing them because they didn't want to.
And I agree with it 100%. That's why I have a friend in the Twin Cities who did not have health care coverage when it passed, and now she was able to get it. And another person I know, but not directly, had a pre-existing condition, and they were able to get a form of health care.
Well, so, people always could get covered for pre-existing condition. They just had to pay a little more.
Well, also, people who were in abject poverty could always qualify, at least in Minnesota and California, for free health insurance, like Medicaid. So certain states gave health insurance anyway, whether you're a drug addict or HIV or whatever.
Medicaid is not free. Somebody has to pay for it. And if insurance companies don't want to cover you because you're a drug addict, why would the government come along with a policy that make people pay for it that don't even have nothing to do with them in order to cover drug addicts? Drug addicts indulge in those type of activities, they should be willing to face the consequences.
I'll give you an example. I work in a treatment center, and we serve them 3 meals a day, and some of the clients are mad that they can't get food stamps. The government won't give them food stamps for living in a facility because they already get 3 meals a day.
Who pays for the 3 meals?
The clients don't. Most of them are homeless or straight out of jail when they come in. We're state-funded.
Well, who pays for it? Now, if it's a charitable organization paying for it, I support that.
If they ask
for a donation,
by the state. I know Lutheran Social Services helps cover the costs, but not all costs.
Well, that's what
I was
going
to mention to you guys. We've been on the air 45 minutes, and John hasn't called in. And my twin sister goes back to California tomorrow. So we got to wrap this up by 11:30.
Hi, Joan.
Don says hi, Joan. She says hi. So, do you guys have any conclusions? We have 14 minutes.
Why don't you put her on for a second?
I'll see if she'll comply. They want to talk to you.
I'm exhausted.
She says she's tired.
Good excuse. All right.
And she's not, politically inclined. She's a social worker.
Oh,
why
well,
are you cutting off early if she's tired and want to go to sleep?
Well, we're going to watch Only Murders in the Building once you guys hang up.
I bet you will. I bet you will. But no, we had a very successful Freedom Fund banquet for the NAACP Reno Sparks. So that was something that I'll send a couple pictures. But for the most part, we've been busier than heck. So take it away, whatever you want.
What was that, Don?
All righty. I said, yeah, the world.
You said you got some pictures from the NAACP Reno Sparks, and then I had to open a pop in the fridge, and I didn't hear the rest.
Oh, the pop. Well, I hope it's good.
Why are you calling soda a pop in California? That's a Chicago
terminology. Because I'm in Minnesota, and my sister's visiting me here. So I can say pop in Duluth.
Right. But she, as long as she does it in her privacy of her own home. But, for the most part, I guess if you wanted to start a conclusion.
Yes, next week I want to talk about direct powers that Congress has versus enumerated powers.
Sounds fine with me.
Okay, and I think John might have been thrown off because he was counting on the show to be last night. But I got a headache for the first time in 6 months, and I just couldn't do it.
I hope you're taking care of yourself. That's all. I did work
6 p.m. to 4 a.m. Sunday to Monday morning, and then I had to go to my cousin's at noon. So my brain was a little torched.
And Lauren's okay?
Nobody knows. It's been 81 days.
You serious?
Serious as a heart attack. He didn't come up here for the trip because Joan came for our 45th high school reunion.
Okay, but he knew.
And neither Benjamin or Lauren came with us, her.
Okay.
Benjamin's in summer school at UC Irvine.
Is there anything
you guys want to share about the public domain or your personal lives that's relevant?
Yeah, no. Go ahead, Bianchi. Yeah, I was mentioning the NAACP. We had our Freedom Fund banquet. Attorney General Ford was our speaker. It was a big success. And then we're looking for Tri-State September 14th. So we'll be in Salt Lake City. So we are never at home. This weekend we're going to our property in Nevada City, so we'll be there for Labor Day. So, family.
Who pays for all the travel? You have to pay for that yourself?
It depends. We do sometimes, but we also have stipends and things like that where we can, we're the head of the group, so there are times that we have the executive board say that we have our registration, hotel, travel, whatever, paid for when we go to a convention. And when we go to a convention, we're, volunteers going there to work. So it's well worth it.
Well, I see where Wells Fargo gave you $50 million. And I also saw that Wells Fargo was a plaintiff in a reparations suit. So I guess they paid their reparations.
I don't think they paid us. I didn't get any dollars. But
they gave the NAACP $50 million.
Yeah, no, that's not reparations, though. That's just telling them, okay, we need to get on your good side because black people ain't using this bank enough. That's what that was. But, they have Wells Fargo has a huge reputation image, negative image. And so they've got to do whatever they can to bring their trust back. Customer trust.
Jane, the only area the legitimate spending can only come from the 17 enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. That's it.
And that has
to
do with
the general, quote unquote, welfare of the United States. Huh?
That's the Congress?
That's Congress.
Congress
spends the money.
Everything has to, all appropriations have to go through that. No, all appropriations have to go through that. And that's where some of the executive orders, like student debt forgiveness.
That's a bunch of bull crap.
That has no place in having an executive order. That's a congressional.
No, it doesn't. That's a bunch of bull crap that Joe Biden is trying to do to appease voters.
Yep. Well, that's why I say that the blacks can go over to the Republican Party, because we've got enough immigrants swimming across the, you know, Rio Grande to be able to supplant the Democratic votes. So there's not going to be a big problem. But again, most of the immigrants, nearly half of the immigrants, are coming from Norway and Sweden. So those folks are, you know, those, we'll have to see about how they vote. But, you know, there's not going to be a shortage of Democratic voters, especially in this next election. After that, watch for No Labels. They might have somebody, Chris Christie might cross over, because I think that in essence he's the most viable Republican.
I wouldn't vote
candidate
for Chris Christie.
Besides,
I wouldn't vote for Chris Christie if he's changed his skin color.
That's fine. No.
He's
no.
crazy.
Chris Christie doesn't give a damn. That's the whole point. He's such a
he's
arrogant.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, they're all crazy, but yeah,
I think Ramaswamy might have a. He may have. You got to find out where he's coming from for real. But he sounds good.
Nah, he's too young. He's
not too young.
When you're talking about the
how old is he?
You
got to be at least 35.
I think he was 48 or something like that.
Oh, he doesn't look it.
No, that don't matter. I don't know what his age is. But the bottom line is that I thought he said, or somebody said, I thought he said 48. But, but bottom line is he doesn't have the credentials yet to be a president. He's got, you know, he might be, again, he might be a viable second place. You know,
I agree with you. Maybe he should come in second place like a vice president. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right.
I agree with you.
Give him a vice presidency term, and then after that, let him loose. You know,
all right, Jane, if you want to call it quits, it's all right with me.
Yep, I do, but I'll do a show next week, probably on a Thursday. School starts on
all
the
right,
5th,
well.
But I'm subbing on for next Friday. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Have a good night, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
You bet.